This is City Lights on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Lois Wrights, is here with you and my guest, Royce Babel. Royce is the director of partnerships at the A3C Hip Hop Festival and Conference, but that is not what we're talking about today. Royce has written and stars in a one-man show following his journey from corporate citizen to world traveler. Royce Babel, welcome to City Lights.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, before we get into your show, please fill us in a little bit on your background. You graduated from Tri-Cities High School.
I did. I'm so proud of the high school that I went to. So I graduated from Tri-Cities. I studied musical theater in high school. So Tri-Cities is, you know, one of the great performing arts high schools here in Atlanta. This is Outkast. This is Candy Burris. This is Kenan Thompson. This, you know, a ton of folks, Saycon Simba, a bunch of folks. So after high school, I decided to do marketing. Went to Howard University in D.C. Did some internships at Google on the West Coast.
Oh, my.
Did a little bit of San Francisco in there. Then I went to New York and started working for Nielsen.
Yes, we know Nielsen well.
A little bit.
We get their ratings. So you were very successful and, you know, right out of the gate. What was it that made you want to drop your corporate job?
Yeah. So it's funny because when I think about it, I ask that question to myself a lot, too. I'm like, what? Why? Especially those moments when I'm like, should I eat this or should I go home and cook? So really, what really prompted that was I just started to get a feeling, right? It was a natural feeling that I was turning 25. I was like, this is, you know, either I can kind of continue down this route and do the whole thing and kind of move up the corporate ladder, or I could kind of create my own path. I didn't know what that path was going to be necessarily. I just knew I needed to disconnect and I needed to get somewhere a little warmer than New York in November.
Well, you know, it's not unusual for students to take a year and travel. Students, I know in Europe and other countries, in fact, they call it a gap year. And some students here in the States do that too, between high school and college, kind of find yourself. But what you were talking about seems a little different. How so?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good point because I didn't really get to do the, so I would have wanted to do the study abroad or a gap year or something, but we had, moments. I had moments that were kind of already planned out, right? So like in the summers when I maybe would have done something abroad, I was in San Francisco. After college, I needed a job. So I went to New York to start working. And so all of, you know, your life is kind of planned for you, right? You know, after middle school, you go to high school, you go to college, you go to work, and work, you work until you die. But I felt like there was something else. So that kind of led me to explore a little bit.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your time on the road. You went to 8 countries in about 4.5 months.
Yeah.
What determined which countries you visit?
So I got a really cheap flight. I got a really cheap flight for about $500 leaving New York to go to Tel Aviv, Budapest, and then Bali. And then it landed in Bali. And it wasn't a return flight. So
Wait. Tel Aviv, Budapest, Bali.
It was a backwards flight.
Were those cities places you were dying to visit?
No. No. I knew I wanted to get to Southeast Asia. And so the fact that Bali was the last trip on the stop, I was like, okay, well, then once I get to Bali, the rest of Southeast Asia is a breeze. So, you know, my friend actually called me and I was working in a coffee shop one Friday. And he was like, yo, I found this ticket. It's $500. It's a weird kind of route, but it'll get you there. And I was like, of course I'll go to Tel Aviv. Budapest is a bit weird and I've never wanted to go, but it was amazing. But I was like, once I'm in Bali, we're good to go. And then I could just kind of hop around from there.
What did, so Tel Aviv was first?
Yes, Tel Aviv was first, and ate my weight in hummus in Tel Aviv.
Good food.
Yeah, good food. Weather is amazing.
And
people are great. It's
what,
great.
What did you take away from there?
Tel Aviv, in particular, the thing about Tel Aviv that I love is just the history. Like, it's just such an old country. Israel just is an ancient country. So I was walking down places that I had read about, right? Like when your friend texts you and says, yo, you want to go to Jerusalem? It's just like, what? You know, it's not really the normal text message that you get. And they're like, yeah, we can go to Jerusalem for like a little day trip. So I mean, just the history was overwhelming.
And then
in the best way.
Budapest.
Yeah. Yeah, something. So Budapest was good because I had no expectations about Budapest. But the interesting thing about what I was doing in Budapest is that I was there in their winter. So I went to Europe, you know, Eastern Europe in November, and I had clothes for Southeast Asia. So I was a little underdressed. So I'm walking around with like really thin Levi jeans and like a windbreaker with a detachable hood, and it's like extremely cold, but all I had was a backpack. So, I was cold most of my time in Budapest.
All right. Let's take off for Southeast Asia then.
Let's do it.
Here you say, some of the play, the one-man show, deals with being a tall black man in the tight spaces of Southeast Asia.
Yes.
When you finally got there, what did you discover?
What didn't I discover is a question. I discovered a lot, right? You have people yelling at you from across the street, like, you, black man, you, come. You know, I had the first day.
Oh, you were exotic.
Oh, I was exotic. Yeah. I was exotic. Yeah, a little more exotic than Atlanta. People would always run up to me, want to take pictures with me. The first day I land in Vietnam, I had a guy who's pushing a cart actually grab my crotch.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and start laughing.
Why did you decide to turn your travels into a show?
Okay. So I decided to turn them into a show because really when I was over there, before I left, a mentor of mine actually told me, he was like, you have to do something with the trip. You can't just leave it all on social media. Right. It'll be great. You've been, you know, blessed to do this, and you've been afforded the opportunity to do this. And he was one of the first guys that came and kind of hired me at Nielsen. And he said, OK, look, so what are you going to do? You can write a book. You can, you know, write it. What are you going to do to show it? And I was like, a book's not really my medium. I wouldn't really read my book yet. Maybe later, but not now. So I was hiking one day in the mountains, and I was always in the back of my mind, I was like, how do I get back to what I was doing in high school, right? Which was performing in some way. And so what I was doing was so vastly different from what I was doing before my college years. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, okay, I'll write a show.
And it's not really a play. It sounds a lot like the Netflix comedy special from the Daily Show senior correspondent Hassan Minhaj, Homecoming. You have storytelling with stand-up, mixed media.
Yeah, we have videos. We have a live keyboardist. We have, it's a ton of videos. It's a ton of music, original music. It's the intersection between, the way we like to describe it, is the intersection between a TED Talk, stand-up comedy, and improv.
And how did you arrive at that format?
It just came from whatever I was writing. And I was just like, my brain was just like, oh, this could be cool. But
when you were on the trip, you were in Southeast Asia, had you already decided you were going to mine this trip for the show?
So when I was there, I was traveling with a friend, and he was journaling every day, right? And I was like, I'll take pictures, like, this is cool. But then he was like, yo, you should really start journaling. After I decided that I was going to write a show, I started taking pictures of everything, journaling every day. And it really went from my journal stories to an outline to recanting those stories and then putting a form around them. And then, you know, so then some things are better told as a stand-up. Some things are better told as impersonations. Some things are better told, you know, I would just write, oh, this happened to me today, and then I'd want to imitate it. So then in the show, it manifests in an imitation format. You know, some manifest in a song. Like
You write about the wedding of the century.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we aren't talking about Prince William and the Duchess.
Almost. In what? Thailand, yeah.
Tell us.
Yeah, yeah. So this was, okay, so I do have to say, I have friends in Bangkok, and the reason that was a big kind of driver for me to do Southeast Asia. So a group of my friends in New York are originally from Bangkok, and they connected me with a really good group in Bangkok, so they knew I was going over there. And when I was in Bangkok specifically, I was really taken care of.
It sounds like if you went to the royal wedding, you were very well taken care of.
Yeah, something like that. So the wedding that I went to, they're pop stars in Thailand. So she's a singer, he's an actor, very beautiful couple. I mean, drop dead girl. I have to show you their pictures. And I go there. They have a 6-hour press conference for their wedding. A princess comes to the wedding.
Wait, a 6 hour? What do you say for 6 hours?
I have no idea. But you have 3 outfit changes. You have you cut your cake with a sword, and you have 2,500 people at your wedding.
That is a substantial number of people. I think you were very fortunate like that. It seems the tone of the show is quirky and even a little whimsical.
Absolutely.
Was that the overall vibe of the trip?
Yeah, that's my style just in general. I can be serious at times, but my general demeanor is a little quirky, a little kind of off kilter. But I think just the whole vibe of me being in Asia was just odd. Everything, like, I felt like I was walking with a soundtrack every day, just being like the tallest person there, right?
Royce, why is this show marketed for millennials?
Yeah, so it's marketed towards millennials because we spend a lot on live entertainment, right? We go to concerts, we go to festivals. I work for a music festival. We love that stuff. But there is such a gap to me in theater for millennials. And I think that we just haven't told it the right way and just haven't told it in a way that's really exciting and rich for us to do. So that's why I had to have a mixed media thing here. It's not just me on stage saying things like, you're going to get a video, you're going to get a song, you're going to get pictures, you're going to get dancing, like a ton of stuff.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to ask you to read the entire name of the play as we wrap up.
Oh, I'd be honored.
Please.
Yeah, sure. Not Here Right Now, the hilariously touching tale of a tall man in tight spaces finding clarity and avoiding a quarter-life crisis in Southeast Asia, all while wearing strappy Velcro sandals, except to the wedding of the century.
And that is the title. Royce Babel is the writer and star of the new one-man show that premieres this Saturday. July 1st at Synchronicity Theater. There are 2 shows and 2 shows only for now. Yeah. At 2 and 7:30 p.m. We'll have details at wabe.org/citylights. Royce Babel, thank you and good luck.
Thank you.